I'm sitting here reading through some other economic information, and you've probably seen this as well if you've traveled at all around. I know I've seen this all over my state of Michigan where I live. For sale signs go up in front of a house in any neighborhood that has any desirability at all. And suddenly there's a bidding war. And houses are worth twice what they were just a couple of years ago in some places. Real estate values have surged by 25% across the country, creating $1 trillion in new wealth for homeowners. Homeowners, on average, have as much as 80 times a greater net worth than those people that rent. Boise, Idaho. Let me give you an example. Boise, Idaho, a gentleman bought a house, $239,000 in the middle of 2018, 3 years ago, $239,000. His agent has more than doubled her business since 2018. 2020 doubled her business. It's going to do better this year. The house that he put up for sale sold for $539,000. His list price was $485,000. He bought it for $239,000. All right? Put on the market for $485,000 and it sold for $539,000. It's insane. It makes you think of a luxury home, says the seller, but it's really just an average house. The housing market. How long does this bubble last? And the other thing that I'm seeing, and you tell me if you see this where you are as well, the other thing that I'm seeing is new builds. New houses being built all over the place, despite the cost of lumber, and not all in big luxury neighborhoods. Homes out in the country, not big houses, a couple thousand square feet, many of them, maybe three. You know, but not palaces by any means, just houses being built in a variety of places. I've also seen houses, many of them being built in vacation destinations, places where people go for their summer homes. I've seen houses being built there, but everywhere else in between as well. Plus, I'm seeing factories be built, a couple of those being built where I am. Brand new factories and facilities going up. That's all good as long as things keep chugging along. But what happens if the supply chain does choke out? What happens if China calls our debt? There are concerns out there. I'll be talking to Craig Stiles here shortly to talk about investment strategies and how you play these markets. Because with everything changing, do you invest in real estate? Do you put money into commodities like gold and silver? Do you stay away from fossil fuel companies or do you invest there? Because their fortunes are going to continue to be solid for years to come. These are questions we're going to dig into a little bit later because it's all important. It's all very important because it all dictates where we're going. And at the same time, of course, you've got China sticking their nose into everything. Oh, and I want to play that for you because that really does bother me. I've got a comment from the president about China hacking into Microsoft. It affected tens of thousands of computers around the world. It's bite number 10. And the United States so far is doing exactly nothing about it. Sleepy Joe gave an answer that defies explanation. Apparently China is only shielding the hackers, and so that's okay with him, it seems. Russia had some bigger role, he claims, in hacking. I don't think there's a bigger hack than this Microsoft deal we've just seen. Listen to what he said.
What is your understanding of the biggest difference between what they've done versus what Russia's done in terms of cyber hacking?
That'd take a longer explanation. No, we don't. I have to go see the King of Jordan. To the best of my knowledge, and I'm getting a report tomorrow morning on this, a detailed report. My understanding is that the Chinese government, not unlike the Russian government, is not doing this themselves, but are protecting those who are doing it and maybe even accommodating them being able to do it. That may be the difference. Thank you.
Not unlike the Russian government. So he said they're doing the same thing as the Russian government. Did I hear him right? the Chinese government, not unlike the Russian government, that would be the same as the Russian government, just shielding these hackers, giving them free rein to do as they please, turning a blind eye. Do we think this is a good idea? Absolutely not. It's another spineless, feckless, weasel reaction to let China off the hook. What does he know that we don't? Probably not much anymore. Here's one you do need to know. Paul Allard Hodgkins, 38, Tampa, Florida, arrested February the 16th for being involved in the January 6th events at the nation's capital, pled guilty last month to a single felony of obstructing an official proceeding. A single felony of obstructing an official proceeding, sentenced to 8 months in prison. The Department of Justice was asking for 18 months in prison. He's 38 years old, has never been in trouble before, but the judge writing the Riot Act, although you were just one member of a larger mob, you actively participated in a larger event that threatened the Capitol and democracy itself. Hodgkins told the judge he regrets his actions, would not have entered the Capitol if he had known of the violent acts committed inside, of which he didn't commit any. Though he emphasized he did not engage in any violence, I realized my involvement did still contribute to the greater problem that took place. The company of us who remained calm in our protest may have made others feel emboldened. 8 months in prison ruined the guy's life. He's a father, a family man, a working guy, and he has been made example of. And there you have it. 8 months in jail for a first-time offender, nonviolent offender. Meanwhile, in New York City, punch somebody in the face, be out by noon. No bail necessary. You see a problem here. It's the Steve Gerber Show. I'll be right back.